What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets powered by FCN. I'm your host, Chris Meany. Thanks, as always, for taking the time to hang out. We are continuing our MLB 2021 team previews. And to join me to talk about the Houston Astros, one of the best in the biz, a rising star, my co-host from Sticks and Stacks, also the co-host of Extra Points Pod with Jerry Ferreira, the MLB NFL analyst over at Fantasy Alarm. You can catch her on Sirius XM Fantasy Alarm After Hours every Friday night, 12 Eastern, Jen Piacenti. Jen, how are you? Welcome in.
I'm good. Thank you. I can't believe it's already baseball season, you know. I'm excited. I hope we get our whole 162 games. I think we will. It feels like it's been so long.
I know it does feel like so long. And, you know, I might have to get you to come back so we can talk about our Chicago White Sox as well. A team that we rode all last season over at Sticks and Stacks. And hopefully we are together talking, baseball picks all season long. But I'm thankful that you joined me today. And, you know, jokes aside, nobody wanted to do the Astros because nobody likes them, Jen.
That's all right. I'm fine with it. And you know what? I have to tell you, I think you all should start to like the Astros because the value in drafts, and I'm not just saying this because I like the Astros. I was an Astros fan before 2017. Yes, I went to the 2017 World Series. But the fact is, when we start breaking these players down, you're going to see there is so much value there. And I think if you want to win your fantasy baseball leagues, everyone should consider taking one or two Astros because there's a ton of value.
I agree. And it was kind of like that last year too. Not so much. It was just like, screw the Astros. I'm not taking George Springer. Or like, it was that kind of talk. And do you remember the chats that we had on Sticks and Stacks with the Astros and the value throughout the playoffs? So last season, 29-31, it was rocky. It was good enough to get into the playoffs. It came second in the division. They were 9-23 on the road. I don't know if that had anything to do with, you know, all the trash can nonsense, and we'll put that aside. I still think it may potentially play a factor, but it was interesting to me when I was looking into it again, like only Pittsburgh and Texas had fewer road wins than Houston last year. So they really struggled away from Houston, 9-23. But again, they found a way to get into the postseason. Everybody doubted them, including Vegas. They were underdogs against Minnesota, and they took care of them 2-0 in the AL wild card.
Yep.
They were underdogs against Oakland. They took care of them pretty easily, 1-3-1 in the ALDS. They were underdogs against the Rays and almost beat them, lost 4-3 in the ALCS. So, yes, we were riding them the entire time. It felt good. Everybody wanted them to lose. Carlos Correa was coming up to the plate, hitting bombs, as Jose Altuve doing the same thing. So, like, that was cool. And I just felt like I was a rebel rooting for this Houston Astros team. They found a way to get in, like I said, and, you know, make some noise and almost go to the World Series against the Dodgers again. Like, no Verlander. They had to deal with that. Jordan Alvarez only played, a couple games? Like, there were some two games. So there's some issues there. They're going to have to deal with no Verlander again this year. Some injuries have popped up from, you know, pitching staff. Framber Valdez got the fractured finger. George Springer leaves and goes to Toronto. And then Forrest Whitley, who's a prospect pitcher. You and I chatted off air that maybe he wouldn't have really gotten an opportunity this season anyways, but for sure not going to a Tommy John surgery. So the rotation looks like this. Zach Greinke, Lance McCullers Jr., Jake Odorizzi, who they sign, Jose Urquidy, who I like a lot, and then Christian Javier, who I also like. Let's just stick with the rotation. Do you have any concerns with this rotation? Are you into Odorizzi? I know you've been doing drafts. I've been doing a couple too. Like, he's been NFBC, his wide range of outcomes, it's huge. And its ADP is 294, but I've seen him go as high as 196 and as low as 400 something. But now that he has a home, are you into him from a fantasy perspective? And do you like Javier? Because he's like a deep league sleeper that I find myself grabbing.
Yeah, I like both of them. I did get a share of Odorizzi as soon as it announced that he signed with the Astros. I mean, he had a fantastic 2019. He had a 3.51 ERA, 178 strikeouts over 159 innings. He also had a career high K rate of 10/9. So he was suddenly looking dominant. And then 2020 happened and it was horrible, but who is it not horrible for? I mean, we were also talking off the air, Juan Moncada, JD Davis, Christian Yelich stunk in 2020. So I feel like we just have to give everybody a pass in 2020. It's not really something you can put too much stock into. That being said, there are some things that are important that we're going to point out that happened in 2020 that we can look at to project favorably. But as far as not favorably, I'm almost not holding it against anybody. I'm just counting it for a few people where I feel like they really did make gains. So Odorizzi, I'm giving him that. Now, the problem with Odorizzi is he doesn't go super deep into games, right? So the max innings you can probably expect from him is 160. That's still pretty good. He has trouble the third time through the lineup. But one thing I will say is if anybody can fix a pitcher, it's Brent Strom and the Astros. Gerrit Cole stunk when we took him. He's pitching to an ERA of over 4, and now he's the number one, maybe number two guy in your drafts as your pitcher. You saw what happened. He's commanded this incredible salary. He went there, he got fixed. And I think that's what they do. I mean, they went out and spotted Ryan Pressly, who was kind of a nobody, you know, and they picked him up, and now he's going to be the closer. So this is what the Astros do. They revived Charlie Morton's career. And it's not just because they were cheating or any of that, because we've seen Charlie Morton and Gerrit Cole go on and continue to be very good pitchers. So I think Odorizzi has a shot to go to Houston and have a great year. But that being said, it's a gamble. It's not a lock.
Yeah, it is. And I guess, you know, the strikeout percentage is there, like you alluded to, in 2019. I think my one thing with Odorizzi, and I think this is just maybe a DFS thing, I tend to pick on him a little bit because he has a high fly ball rate and he gives up bombs, but this is a decent division for him. Like, Angel Stadium is a pitcher's park. Like, going to Oakland is a pitcher's park. Seattle is a pitcher's park too. So I know that they're not playing inside the division like they did in 2020. They're going to make other, you know, trips. It's hopefully, like you said, off the top, we see a full season here, but I think he's fine. I like the fact that he's going to go to a team that still has some solid defenders that can help him out there if he can get some, you know, pump that ground ball rate up a little bit. But for the most part, he is who he is now. You're right. I mean, we could see some adjustments for him and then he doesn't give up so many bombs. But I think it's a plus. Am I wrong there in going to the AL West? There's some decent pitcher parks there.
I definitely think it's a plus. And look at the competition in the AL West. I mean, a week ago, I was doing a props and futures draft, and Astros were plus 150 to win the division, and the A's were plus 120. It's now swapped, last I checked. Now the Astros are their favorites. But again, like, okay, Oakland, are you afraid to face the Mariners? No. Yeah, you don't want to face Mike Trout, maybe, but the Rangers, and I just don't think it's a really scary situation, and it's a pitcher's ballpark in Houston.
Yeah, it is. So looking at the odds, they're 25-1 to win the World Series, 10-1 to win the AL pennant. You're right, 135 AL West. They're slight favorites now. I believe the A's are one plus 140. Again, you can use our free prop shop over at ftmbets.com to get the best possible odds out there. I think the Angels are third at plus 350, plus 400-ish. The win total is 87.5, and the AL West odds, as I mentioned, 135. So I don't know. Win total seems okay. 87.5. Like, is this a 90 win team? I guess it would have to bank on health. I think you would need a healthy Jose Altuve all year. And also Jordan Alvarez, is this guy in for a bounce back season? I'm seeing a wide range of outcomes when it comes to Alvarez as well. Again, using NFBC ADP, 81 right now. I've taken from the last month where drafts are really starting to ramp up. Mm-hmm. I've seen them go as high as 42, Jen, and 127. Where are you with Jordan Alvarez?
I have Jordan Alvarez. I drafted him in my tout team. It was one of my favorite picks. I believe it was fifth round because I was at the end, the very end of the fifth round, and I didn't want to risk waiting to the sixth round. Look, I get it. He's had two knee surgeries, but he's going to be the DH. And here's the thing. He's one season removed from 27 home runs, 78 RBI, and batting .313 in only 87 games. So that's on pace if you played the full season for 50 home runs, 145 RBI, which sounds kind of ridiculous, except it's exactly what he did in only 143 games between the majors and minors that year. So it's actually not. And not only does he have the power, he has the batting average. He has the contact skills. And this is something you don't usually get. The guy's falling to the fifth, sixth round. How do you not take a shot on that? I think you do. They say he's going to be healthy. They say he's going to be fine. Could he get injured? Could he not play? Sure.
That's, but you can say that about everyone, right?
Yeah, you can say that about exactly everyone. And so now we know his knees are surgically repaired. He was never going to be a speed guy. And he doesn't really play in the outfield. There's a DH in the AL. So I don't see why you don't do this. If you're if you can take Nelson Cruz, you can take Jordan Alvarez.
Absolutely. And I think there's slightly a little bit more upside with the 23-year-old Alvarez. Exactly. No disrespect. You and I both love Nelson Cruz.
Love him.
He's a guy that continues to get disrespect. And I think he's still a decent, you know, option in drafts. But Alvarez has that, like you alluded to, that upside. I see him as at least a guy that, even if he just has, what, 124 games, 530 plate appearances, he's getting 30 bombs.
30
he's flirting with 100 RBIs. He's going to give you a good average, like you mentioned. So the stolen bases won't be there, but if you're in a roto league, you just need to adjust. But I think he's a great, I don't want to say gamble, but I think he's a great, like, for where he's going in drafts, I think it's absolutely worth it. And I was just taking a look at just some single player props here, like Carlos Correa, 40-1 MVP. I'm not totally into that. Alvarez, 40-1 MVP. Altuve, 50-1 MVP. Like, I just don't think those are good bets. But how about Alvarez 20-1 to lead the league in home runs, or 28-1 to lead the league in RBIs?
So I actually took that bet in a props draft last week, actually, for him to be leading at All-Star break, for him to be, and the odds were incredible. It's like, why wouldn't you do it? Like, it could be anybody. It may as well be Jordan Alvarez. The guy is incredible. He's really incredible. He's special, and everybody forgot. And that's the case for a lot of players this year that we're going to find. I'm sure as we talk more, we're going to find there are players that were forgotten about because either they sat out or they just got injured or they just didn't have great seasons. But there's so much value out there that's being passed up. It's incredible.
Yeah. Recency bias is such a huge thing in fantasy. And I don't think you have to throw everything out from last year, but you have to take it with a grain of salt, like, really. And how many times have we seen over the full course of a season players start slow and then, you know, in the second half they get back to where we expected them to be, or vice versa, right? Like, hot starts. And
case in point,
would they keep that up?
Notorious for that, Alex Bregman, right? Alex Bregman is notoriously a second half player. And you look at his numbers from last year, like, that doesn't look good. That doesn't look like an AL MVP. And because of that, he's slipping down. But let's look at, like, his halves. In 2017, in the first half, he batted .256. In the second half, he batted .315. In 2019, in the first half, he batted .265. In the second half, he batted .338. He's always a slow starter. And last year, he had a hamstring strain. What this guy has never lacked is plate discipline. He's the second best on the team with a .350 OBP. And by the way, that .350 OBP last year was his career low OBP. He's a career .381 OBP guy. So these are people that you look at and you're like, how serious can I take the fact that he played, you know, what I think it was like 34 games and it wasn't his best, but he still had his OBP. He's always a notorious slow starter. These are things, it's hard. You know, Jose Ramirez, I'm trying to think, I think I have some notes here. 2 years ago,
oh,
2018.
Yeah.
Do you remember those 60 games? Oh, yeah. In 2019, yes. He had a 56 game stretch where he batted .213 with 4 home runs, 20 runs, and 17 RBI. And then in 2028, in the same amount of games played, he was runner up for the AL MVP.
Yeah.
So when you're talking about a 60 game sample size, you have to take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah. And I think that, I mean, looking at FanGraphs and the projections are usually spot on, but, and, you know, most sites, you know, are careful with their projections. Mm-hmm. I think they're a little low. Like, I'm seeing Bregman around 27 homers, 90 runs, 90 RBIs, and a .270 average. I mean, this guy is, you know, .296 in 2019, .286 in 2018. You mentioned the 2017 season, .282. That was the .352 on base percentage. So, yeah, I mean, Bregman's safe. I think he's not going to get you a ton of stolen bases, but he's got so much pop. He's going to help you out, you know, really across the board. I have no issues with Bregman. You know, I don't really have any issues with a lot of these guys. Kyle Tucker is the first Astro off the board, according to ADP, NFBC 32, Bregman 42, Alvarez 81, like we mentioned, Altuve 98, Greinke 108, Presley 119, Correa 123, get into him in a little bit. And then you get into some other guys like McCullers 124, the y'all, you know, safe Michael Brantley, just, you know, getting with him all the
so
time.
Safe.
Yeah, 151. Urquidy in there, 209. And then Gurriel, who I want to talk about as well, 288. But let's start with Tucker.
Yeah.
Tucker is, he's a five tool guy, I think. Maybe not so much the average. Right. I don't think he's going to flirt with a, you know, 270, maybe best case scenario for him. Nine homers, eight stolen bases last year in the 58 games, 228 plate appearances. In 2019 in Triple A, he was a 30-30 guy, 34 bombs and 30 stolen bases. I think he's a 2020 guy this year. And I think he can flirt with 30 home runs and maybe 25 stolen bases. Do you think he is? Are you passing on him in drafts? Like, is where he's going? Is that fair? A top 30 pick fair for him?
It's too high. I think it's too high. And I'm an Astros fan. Here's the thing. Thank God he finally put it together last year. He was one of the best hitters last year without question. His exit velocity is consistently 91 plus. Does he have the power? Absolutely. He strikes out a lot more than I like. His speed is in the 70th percentile. He's not like, he's not even as fast as Dansby Swanson, but does he steal? Yes. He's not going to get you great batting average, but my biggest problem is, and don't get me wrong, he could easily be 30, 20. He could be. He's probably going to be batting seventh in the lineup. Mm-hmm. So we're drafting a guy in the third round that's not batting. He's not batting leadoff. He's not batting cleanup, you know, because you got to think about it. Right now in spring training, they've actually been batting Miles Straw leadoff, and he's actually been very good, which is odd. Correa's been the second best hitter so far in spring, and he's the other one they're talking about batting leadoff. But they could bat leadoff with Altuve if he comes back to form, Brantley. But all of those guys through Yordan are going to be your 1-5. It is probably not going to be Kyle Tucker. Obviously, this could change. Who knows with Dusty? But Dusty doesn't like his rookies. Dusty likes vets. Like, he's known for that. So that's why I fear it's too high. And don't get me wrong, I love Kyle Tucker. I love the possibility. But should he be the first Astro off the board? I don't think so. I don't think so.
I think a lot of people just get hyped with young prospects and speed. That's exactly what it is. It's speed. I get it too. If you're going to draft, you know, in those big roto leagues, you got to have at least your first couple picks. I mean, you got to have some guys who are going to contribute in stolen bases or you're really going to be behind the eight ball. There are some guys you mentioned. Straw is one guy that you can grab. I mean, his ADP is 410. And talk about wide range of outcomes here. 146 to 620. Like, that is crazy. That's people like, I think, oh my goodness, I have no speed. I have to get speed. Like,
absolutely it is. But that being said, if he's going to be batting leadoff, if it continues like spring, he could absolutely be worth it because he could also get these runs. He's not going to get you power. No. But like, let me ask you this. Would you rather have Starling Marte than Kyle Tucker or Kyle Tucker?
Yeah, I'd rather have Marte. There's a lot of guys like he is outfielder 8, Kyle Tucker, on average, NFBC 8. Yelich, Bellinger, Harper, Tucker. Then our guys from Chicago, Aloy, Robert, Ozuna, who had a great year, not going to give you any power, but proven bat in a great lineup. George Springer, how much is he going to steal in Toronto? But still, like, there, Marte, as you mentioned, and then some big pop guys like Judge and Rosarena, like that guy too.
Let me ask you this, like, how different is the profile? Now, I understand this person's injury prone and there could be some playing time issues, but how different is the playing profile between Kyle Tucker and AJ Pollock? I mean, it's not quite the same, but like, if you want that guy, you could probably wait and get him in round 17, 18 and spend your draft capital in the third round on someone else. I mean, I still love Kyle Tucker. Don't get me wrong. It's just, it's not a choice I'm making because he's going to hurt my average too, probably. So I'd rather have Marte.
Yeah. It's tough to grab a guy. And I mean, he's gone as high as 17, Jen.
Yeah. I think it's going bonkers.
It's a lot. I like him too. I thought that you were going to give him a lot of love, but what you're saying makes sense. Like, and I thought, you know, I have one share of him and it didn't go that high, but in a draft, I saw him go in the second round and I was like, holy goodness.
I'm seeing it too.
Wow, second round? Like, again, the upside is there. I think it's a little bit of the stolen base, and he's got the power and whatnot. But you're right. I mean, he's penciled in right now to potentially bat seventh. What do you think? Do you think it is Carlos Correa maybe to start the season as the leadoff guy? Or, like, what do you think the chances are that it could be a guy like Miles Straw leading off for this team?
I think the chances are high. It could be Miles Straw, believe it or not, because he has the speed, too. So, with what he's doing right now, and if he's literally taking George Springer's spot, then that's his spot. I mean, we'll see. I don't know how long he can maintain this, but right now I just looked up his slash line as of this morning, and he is slashing 438, 1.063 in spring. So if he continues that, yeah, he'll be batting leadoff. Absolutely. So
yeah, no question. All right, let's talk about Correa and Altuve. So big names, obviously. Big names. Altuve last season, 5 homers, and then he hit 5 homers in the postseason,
right.
375 average. Carlos Correa had 5 homers, and then he hit 6 homers in the postseason, 362 average. Correa, let's start with him, because Correa's going a little bit later, like ADP 123. I'm into him. I see the upside.
Me too.
I know the injury risk. I understand that he only has one season over 481 plate appearances, like his 2016 season, the 20 homers and 13 stolen bases, hit 274. And then 2017, he had the 24 bombs, 315 average, but he only had 481 plate appearances. And then the plate appearances, they've continued to decline, right? 468, then 321, and then the shortened season last year, but 58 games, 221 plate appearances, 5 bombs. Projections have him around 25 homers and a 262 hitter. But I think, again, that's being safe. Like, the upside for him, I believe, is 30, a 270 hitter at least. Again, no stolen bases, but this is a guy, correct me if I'm wrong, playing in a contract year as well, right?
That's correct. So, that's the important thing to remember about Correa. He's in a contract year. Not only is he in a contract year, he's injuring. He will turn 27 this year. And how much baseball research has been done about the age 27 year? That's the year. That's the breakout year. Well, all those forces are going to align. And listen, George Springer's gone, right? Yeah. Correa has come out and said, I want to be an Astro for life. That is my goal. And if you watched the postseason, just as you alluded to, this guy was in fuego, right? 6 home runs. In fact, you know, we've talked about how the 60-game sample size isn't great. I think for those teams that went to postseason, one of the advantages are you can kind of lump those games in now because they give you a little bit further glance into what a full season would have been. So for Correa, his regular season, 5 home run, 25 RBI, 22 runs. But if you put that on a 73-game pace, 23 home runs, 96 RBI, 66. So if you put it on 162-game pace, based on 73 games, not the 60 games, 23 home runs, 96 RBI, 66 runs. So now we're looking a lot more like those projections, but potentially could go even higher. I understand he has an injury risk, and I get that.
Yeah. But that's baked into the ADP, I think.
It is baked into it because you're getting him in the 10th round.
Yeah.
In the 10th round, how are you not taking this upside? This guy, again, he's 27 and we feel like he's been around forever and he's old, but he started playing at age 19. And because of that, we have career numbers to look at. He bats for average. He has the power. And like I said, with George gone, there's no more heart and soul of the team without someone like a Carlos Correa stepping up. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to be that guy. And I think he's the kind of guy that is going to respond to that.
I think so too. I mean, shortstop position is so deep. 13th on average here, taken off the board. Again, another wide range of outcomes. Pick as high as 70, is as low as 177. I get the risk. I understand people have probably been burned, myself included. I've been burned by Carlos Correa before in the past, but I think what I saw in the postseason, man, like him just backing up all the talk,
all of it.
And again, like everything was just on full display. And I think what you said was perfect. I remember when it was like Springer just came up and then, oh, just wait. I remember talking to an Astros beat writer years ago and I was talking about Springer and he's just like, just wait until Carlos Correa comes. Like, he's just a kid. He'll be up in a couple of years. And you're right. He's 26 years old. And, you know, the resume does speak for itself. It's just the issues with the injuries. I think it's worth the risk for sure.
Me
Altuve
too.
Is the guy that I don't know. I'm not sure. I would need you to sell me on Jose Altuve. I don't think that the power is there. Like, the 31 home runs for 2019, I think that's the outlier, even though he had, you know, back-to-back seasons with 24, and we just talked about his power in the postseason. I am a little concerned with the knee. I have some concerns there. I don't think he's a 300 hitter anymore, but I think he can get to 280. I think he can steal double-digit bags. I think if you get 20 home runs, you're fine. What's your expectations with Altuve? Are you into him?
Yeah, well, I'm into him at his value, right? Again, round 9, and we're talking about second base. There's not a lot of options there. Super shallow position. So for me, you know, a career 311 hitter, an AL MVP, a 6-time All-Star, a Silver Slugger in an 8th or 9th round. Yeah, like you have to go back in on that. Like, who are you going to trust instead? Andrés Giménez? Maybe, I guess. No, you're going with Altuve, right? Yeah. I just can't. So he had a terrible 2020. There's no question. He never hit below 283 until last year. And I think there's no secret that he was one of the people that was most affected by the scandal. He took the brunt of it. I think he's kind of sensitive. You know, am I allowed to say that as a lady? He's just kind of sensitive. He's a sweet little heart. I think he took it kind of hard, but we saw him turn it on in the postseason. As you mentioned before, 5 home runs in the postseason, Matt, matched his 5 home runs during the regular season. And in the postseason, he batted,
360. Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, 375. And he had a 500 OBP, 5 home runs, 11 RBI. So again, doing the same thing as I did with Correa, I took that 73 game numbers and put them on 162 game pace. And now we're talking about 23 home runs, 64 RBI, and 98 runs. I would take that in the 8th round at second base. So I think you should trust Altuve. Again, I'm not saying go get him in the 5th or 6th round, but if he comes at 8th or 9th, I mean, that position is like, eh.
Unless you are right.
DJ LeMahieu.
Yeah, it is. It is bad. Like, obviously LeMahieu and Albies are going to go early with Merrifield and Biggio.
I haven't decided on Biggio. I like his steals record.
I know. I don't have any shares of him yet, but I just don't. I don't know where he's going to hit.
Keeping him in a keeper league for the value, but
yeah, like him be a little bit better against
Florida Stadium. But then he doesn't really. He's a great OBP. I like him in the OBP league. Blah blah blah. You know.
I mean, and the lineup has tremendous upside. I think he's going to fall down the lineup, unfortunately, with some of the additions that they made. I liked him like a couple months ago, but. I'm more willing, I suppose, to pass on Biggio and maybe
wait for Altuve.
You know, Marte bounce back. I thought last year was a little shady for him, but I'd rather Altuve than Muncy. I think he's going right in around that range. Moustakas, you know, Moustakas not going to get you a great average. He's got some power, maybe a little
and neither
bit
is Muncy. Muncy could actually tank your average.
Yeah,
so.
He could. Yeah, Muncy's the one. And we did the Dodgers yesterday with Matty Wood, and he's like, Muncy is. There's a lot to talk about the Dodgers. There's a lot of great players there, obviously. But a couple things that I started to think about, Matt, when you were talking, and one, obviously, just rolling through Muncy. Muncy was a fade for Matt, but also that power surge at age 27. We saw it with Corey Seager, and that's exactly what I asked him. I was like, is this legit? Is it just him being 26, now going to be 27 in this season? He's going to be able to carry that over, and he really backed it up with a lot of analysis that you kind of just had there as well with Carlos Correa. So all right, you're kind of selling me on Altuve. He's not on my radar, but the fact is he is dropping because I guess partly from last year, partly from people hating on the Astros.
Right.
The swinging strike percentage was a career high. You mentioned the strikeout percentage a career high. So I do believe that he was affected a little bit from the scandal. And I think it's fair to call him maybe slightly sensitive as well.
You know, to your point about the scandal, it occurs to me when you just said that perhaps that's why Kyle Tucker is going so high, that he's the one Astro people can get behind that they don't associate with that at all because he wasn't there.
That is interesting. And the home and road splits are there with Altuve. Again, it's such a very small sample size, but 182 average at home in 2020. I don't want to get too much into this scandal garbage, but he hit 306 at home in 2019. In 2018, he hit 283. So again, very small sample size, but some numbers that are definitely interesting when it comes to Altuve. But he did turn it on when they needed him the most in the postseason, like him and Carlos Correa. That's what gives me that little bit of, okay, all right, I see it. It's still there. Yuli Gurriel. I wanted to bring up him. Not on my radar in draft.
Yes.
But just, I noticed this going super, super late. Like, he's basically free. 2019 was awesome for him. 31 bombs, 104 RBIs. He hit 298. He hit 291 the year before that. He hit 292 the year before that. So, like, I'm taking his 232 average. Again, we're using this term, grain of salt. But, like, I don't think he's a 230 hitter. He's projections not- have him for around 260. I think he's a 270 plus, 280 he can get to. What is he somebody you're taking a flyer on late? Is this some 20 power, you know, 20 home run power upside in a 270? Somebody that won't hurt your average late. That you're not going to get a lot of guys late in your draft, Jen, who can hit 270, 275 and give you 20 homers.
He's literally free.
Free.
So if it gets to there for free, yeah, and taking him, am I targeting him as my first baseman? No. But as you mentioned, 31 home runs in 2019. And the thing they say is he talked to Carlos Beltran. And Beltran said, keep both eyes on the ball. That's all it is. But if you look over the course of Yuli's career, even when he was in Cuba, what he was like, he was like a 400 hitter in Cuba. Like,
great contact hitter.
Skills are what he has. He doesn't really strike out. And he is in the 97th percentile of strikeouts, I believe, last year, if I remember correctly. And yet it was still the highest strikeout rate of his career. Okay. So he's not, this guy has contact skills. So I would say Yuli's a great shot late.
It's again, doesn't need to be a target.
No.
First base is not crazy great, but you know, you're playing with corner infields, maybe somebody who can help you out there. I just don't think he'll hurt you as a late round pick. Like, okay, fine. I'll take Yuli here as a guy who, you know, again, won't hurt you in average and is, you know, basically free. What's his, I got his 288 ADP. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. And he's going later than that too. And that's an average. I've a couple of drafts. I've seen him go well, like mid 300s. So we mentioned Straw. We talked about all these guys. Talk to me a little bit more about Javier. Like, is he somebody that I think people, you know, could people take shots on him? Like with some of the injuries now, could we see 130 innings from him this year? Maybe 20 plus starts.
I definitely think you could. I mean, he had a pretty exceptional year last year, 3.4 ERA, 25% strikeout rate, 0.99 whip in 10 games. I mean, that's pretty impressive. And the expected batting average, 185. So, you know, it looked like it was real. The slider and the curver is put away pitches. He's got some stuff there. He's technically still battling for the fifth spot.
Yeah.
But now that Framber Valdez is out, I'm pretty sure it's going to go to him no matter what. Of course, Luis Garcia is somewhat in the conversation, but I don't see why not. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, it's a small sample. The contact rate was kind of high, but again, a small sample. He had double-digit strikeout rates or swinging strike rates, you know, throughout the minors. It was only 8.7 last year. But I think, you know, with some of the injuries, I believe there's a little bit of upside. There are a couple red flags that I have. I mentioned the contact rate and then, you know, the fly ball rate is slightly high. But again, it's a small sample. 52% is fairly high for him. So, you know, there could be some bombs there, but there could be some command issues as well. I mean, he did walk a few guys in AAA, but everybody, you know, goes through those issues as a minor league pitcher, most, right, besides the studs that get out of there. All right, so we've basically talked about all the Astros. Is there any other Astros that didn't mention that you wanted to give some love to or some hate?
I mean, no. I think you guys all know about McCullers. I like McCullers still, especially at home. I think we talked about that on Sticks and Stacks quite a few times. Like, always start Lance McCullers at home. He's dominant there. He had a great year last year, and that was his first year back from Tommy John. So I'm expecting it to be even better. He has five pitches. He has a beautiful curve. I'm hoping he's going to use his curve more now that his elbow's healing. So I think that's good. Greinke, I know a lot of people are down on because he had a career high ERA. I believe that was a career high, but he also had a lot of things get better. His walk rate was only 3.3%. His velocity was down, but you know, he's up there calling his own pitches, being he's crafty enough. And I think he can give you 200 innings. So if you're in these new leagues, like this new tout league I'm in, innings pitched is a category. So if you need that workhorse guy, I think Greinke's the guy, and he will be sitting atop the rotation. So yeah, I think, you know, I think that's pretty much the Astros. I mean, we got him on Michael Brantley, as you mentioned.
It's just safe.
Just right? Safe batting average, probably not a lot of power, but just safe batting average, depending on where he bats, probably RBI because of the team he plays for. So you know.
Yeah. It's another guy who's not, you know, on my radar, but when he falls down boards and it's like, okay, I need a guy here who can help me out with average. It's like, mm-hmm. all right, that guy's going to be Brantley again, 102 to 193, the range of outcomes over at NFBC and ADP of 151. So he's fine. I agree with you with Greinke. Yeah. The velocity has been down. He pitches to contact, but you know, he's going to have some poor outings, but just a guy who's going to eat up a lot of innings, 200 plus innings in three straight seasons prior to last year's 2020. And he's had at least 200 innings in five of his past seven seasons. Again, not well, five of six, yeah. if we don't count last year. So, and the walks have always been the K rate is it's hovered around a little bit, but the command is on point. It always has mm-hmm. been. And I like when Greinke tips off his pitches. Like,
know,
hey, this is what I'm throwing you here. Like, see if you can hit it. Oh, wait, you did hit that. Maybe I shouldn't tell you.
Oops.
Okay. So you've done a few drafts, and let's talk about maybe outside of Houston. Mm-hmm. Is there any players that you find yourself having a lot of shares of, players yeah. that maybe you think are falling down boards that you just like, okay, I don't know why I'm grabbing this guy. Like, who comes to your mind?
A couple players I've had a lot of shares of. Clint Frazier, who nice. I got in round 15 in tout last week. Mm-hmm. The guy hits the ball hard. And I think people were concerned about playing time, but they've now said he's going to be the opening day center fielder. I know everyone's freaking out. Brett Gardner's back. I don't care. I don't care.
Come on. Yeah.
And we're talking about a team that has Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Judge. There's going to be injuries, right? Yeah, he's going to have an opportunity. Round 15, Clint Frazier. Yes. All day. Yes. That's somebody that has a tremendous upside. Another one that keeps slipping down boards, and I understand why, and it's because of this NLDH thing. It's Dom Smith. He keeps falling and falling and falling. And I wasn't going to be in on Dom Smith when they had the DH because, you know, I thought it was a little high. I was a little nervous. But now that he's going in round 14, I mean, this guy in 2020, over the course of 50 games, he hit 316, 10 home runs, 27 runs, and 42 RBI, which is on pace for 32 home runs and 132 RBI in a full season, right? And that's good because it backs up what he did in 2019 because he had a really strong 89-game debut there too. So he's actually done it 2 years in a row. Now, we haven't seen the full 162 games, but his barrel percentage was 13.3%. His hard hit percentage last year was 46%. These are all really exciting numbers, and he qualifies at first base and outfield right now on most platforms. First base, again, not a super exciting position. So in round 14 with the Mets, like they are, which is actually maybe competitive.
Yes.
And if his bat is really that good, I understand he's not a great defender, but if his bat is really that good, they're going to find a way to get it in the lineup. So I'm interested in Dom Smith in round 14.
I'll talk about this
kind of a sleeper.
Yes.
You spoke earlier about why wouldn't you want a guy late in drafts that can get you average in 20 bombs?
What do you got?
And how it's so bereft of anyone exciting after the first few. Starlin Castro only played 16 games last year in 2020, broken wrist. But he was hitting .283 in the short time he was there. And he has always hit for average.
Always
hit for average over his career. He hit 22 home runs and batted .270 for Miami in 2019. We've yet to see him fully with the Nationals, but I think it could be sneaky 20 home runs. And when you get that late in your draft, and mind you, his ADP is 326.
He's free.
When you get that late in your draft, if you can actually get average and power at the same time, you have to take it.
I agree. Castro is a guy that I have. I think I took him last year too. And you're right. It was I guess slightly disappointing, but he only played a handful of games. I mean, he only had 16 games, 63 plate appearances, but this guy's a career .280 hitter. We just talked about how weak the second base position is. So you're going to get the second and the short. There is some nice dual eligibility. 20 bombs, definitely very doable. I like all of those calls. Actually, I have a little bit of Clint Frazier. I don't have any Dom Smith, but you make some good points. Even 2019 was very similar to 2020. Mm-hmm. Had the double digit homers, hit for average .282. So he's got some pop in his bat. I think we could see 20 homers and a guy who could get maybe .265, maybe .270 is asking too much, but I think it's very possible. But I love the Frazier call. I'm totally into him. And I've just not that I'm afraid of Judge and Stanton. I think I took Judge or I took Stanton in the ninth round of the Great Baseball Invitational. I'm like, ah, you know what? At this point, I'm just going to do it. I'm picking at the end. Like, give me some power. I'll just take it. I think I had like a mini Yankee stack at that point going on. It's like, all right, I'm just all in, I guess. Makes me sick to say it because I'm not a Yankees guy, but it is what it is. The value will fall if, you know, if guys are falling, I'd take the value all day.
Yep.
But for Frazier, yeah, I mean, he could maybe even steal a few bags too, right? I mean, 10 could be pushing it, but it's possible.
Could.
And the power is definitely, it's definitely there. 20, I would say 20 is his floor, Jen.
Yeah, I agree. And he's another one. I was telling you about this props and futures bet. He's like 30,000 to one to be leading home runs at the All-Star break. So I took it.
Oh, baby, you took it. What else did you take on the way out here? Anything else?
Why not?
What else did you take?
I mean, the obvious ones, Cardinals to be leading the division at the All-Star break. I took the Astros division as well. At that time, they were not the favorites. The A's were, so I thought it was decent odds. I took Dream Shake to win the Kentucky Derby.
Ooh, okay. Yeah. All right. Nice. Writing that down, Dream Shake.
Yeah,
all
Dream
right.
Shake and the Kentucky Derby. And Djokovic to take Wimbledon. So
I like it. All right.
Yeah.
If you are into betting, and I'm sure the people that are watching are, you know, over at ftnbets.com, we have a few of those followers. Hopefully Jen and I will be back talking to you guys at least once a week with some baseball picks and some props, all that good stuff over Sticks and Stacks. But make sure you check out Jen all over Twitter at Jen Piacenti, and as well, Sirius XM Fantasy Alarm After Hours every Friday night. Midnight Eastern, correct?
That's right.
That's right. And check out all of our work over at Fantasy Alarm. You still doing the pod with Jerry?
Still doing the pod with Jerry, but it will be actively doing the pod in the fall for football. And then in the off season for baseball and basketball, he and I will each be giving video picks. He'll be doing some basketball and I'll be doing some baseball. So we'll be giving you some DFS picks and some player props and things like that as well. Through videos, little short minute, 2 minute videos.
You're killing it. I appreciate you joining me today. I know you're very busy, but hopefully we can catch up soon as well. Maybe we'll have to preview our White Sox.
We need to.
All right. Thank you so much, Jen. And thanks to everybody out there for watching. Hit the like button, subscribe to FTN, our YouTube page. We'll continue these MLB previews all the way up until first pitch. Take care. Cheers.